My dear brothers and sisters, I humbly ask that the Spirit of God may attend me in what I may say today. In my opinion, one of the great miracles in our generation is the miracle of missionary work of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. At the present time, the Church has 98 missions which cover most of the world. There are over 15,400 missionaries devoting full time to proselyting activities. In addition to these, there are several thousand mature men and women from all professions serving on a part-time basis in the state missions. These missionaries are either paying their own expenses or they are receiving financial help from their friends, relatives, or Melchizedek priesthood quorums. The vast majority of the full-time missionaries are young men from 19 to 21 years of age, a time in life when which young people, as a general rule, would not devote themselves to full-time church service. It should be pointed out that these young men interrupt their education, put off marriage, and adjust their missions to their military obligations so they can do missionary work for their church and their Savior. Thus, the miracle of missionary service is repeated over and over with every missionary who gives up his time and in the sacrifices made by those who furnish the financial help. Why this modern miracle of missionary work? First, this extensive missionary work is carried forward because those people who serve as missionaries and those who give them their financial support have strong testimonies in their hearts that the church belongs, that they belong to Christ's true church, which he restored on earth in 1830. They are positive that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the only church in the world which possesses God's holy priesthood, his true doctrines and ordinances, and the power to bring people into celestial glory to dwell with their Creator. And so they go on missions in order that other people may receive the gospel and share the same joy and blessings that they have. Second, the modern miracle of extensive missionary work occurs because in several revelations, Jesus Christ commanded that it be done. For example, he commanded church members as follows: "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, acting in the authority which I have given you, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." As I have toured missions, many missionaries, as well as converts, have reported to me unusual missionary experiences or miracles. A stake president in California told me the following missionary experience. A young man in this stake from a well-to-do family had been taught the gospel by missionaries. His interest in the church was very displeasing to his parents. They endeavored to persuade him not to join, but he still declared that he had a strong testimony that this was the true church of Jesus Christ and he must join. Then, in desperation, the parents took the drastic step of telling him that if he became a member of the Mormon church, he would be disinherited. In spite of this warning, the young man joined the church, and his parents literally turned him out of his home. He was invited to live with a Mormon family. While he was there, the bishop and the stake president asked him to go on a mission. He accepted the call. Before he left, however, his parents heard through a mutual friend that their son was going on a mission. They sent word to him that if he did, they would never write him a word, nor send him money, and that he was not to contact them. About a year later, when the young man was in the mission field, the stake president was called on the telephone about 1 o'clock in the morning. A gentle voice of a woman on the other end of the line asked if he would please give her that missionary's address because she wanted to send him some money. Thus, it appears that the love of a mother had risen above her religious prejudice. While touring a mission, I ran across a missionary who had been an All-American basketball star in college. Upon graduation from the university, he had turned down a high-paying contract to play professional ball so he could go on a mission. Another missionary told me that when he graduated from high school, he was offered $30,000 a year to play professional baseball. He refused the offer so he could go on a mission. When a young man is faced with the choice of a mission or playing professional ball at a high salary, it takes great faith and devotion to choose the mission. But many young Latter-day Saints have made this choice. Recently in South America, a young lady who impressed me greatly told me the story of her conversion to the LDS Church and her missionary call. Before coming in the church, she was a nurse. Her roommate was a Mormon girl. She liked the girls' habits, was very pleased with her character and personality, and so she decided to study the LDS religion. The Mormon girl got two missionaries to teach her the gospel. When the nurse's parents heard that she was favorably inclined towards the Mormon religion, they thoroughly opposed her actions. They forbade her to join the church, telling her that if she did, she would be disinherited. The Holy Ghost had borne witness to her so strongly that the Church of Jesus Christ was the true church, that she asked the missionaries to baptize her, even against the wishes of her parents, whom she loved dearly. It grieved her when her father and mother told her not to return home. After joining the church, she had a very strong desire to go on a mission, and so she decided to work and save the money. It took her 3 or 4 years' time to save approximately $3,000. She was called to labor in South America, where she is doing an outstanding job in taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people of that land. When she returns home, she hopes to regain the love and favor of her parents. Several years after returning from touring a mission, I said to one of my friends, "Did you make any converts when you were on your mission in a certain town?" And I told him the name of the town. He replied, "No, I didn't make a single convert there. My companion and I had very poor missionary success. I informed him that recently I had held a meeting in that town." Following the meeting, a woman approached the mission president and me and said, "When I was a girl, two Mormon missionaries came to our home a number of times and talked with Mother. Each time the missionaries came to her home, I ran into the kitchen and peeked through the door and listened while they conversed with Mother, who wasn't very interested. As soon as they had left, I would run into the living room, pick up the literature they had left on the table, and go to my room and study it. I was very thrilled with what I was learning. Finally, I obtained a copy of the Book of Mormon and read it. I became thoroughly converted to the Church of Jesus Christ, having a firm conviction that it was the true church. When I grew to maturity, two more Mormon missionaries came to town, and I asked them to baptize me. After I had become a church member, I taught the gospel to my friends and relatives. There are over 50 members in this branch who belong to the church as a result of my conversion and baptism. I then said to my friend, "You see, you and your missionary companion indirectly have over 50 converts in the town in which you thought you got none." A missionary related an experience which illustrates one method which God has used to bring the searchers after truth into his church. He stated that he and his companion had knocked on the door. A woman opened the door immediately, enthusiastically invited them in, and said to them, "You young men have come to my home today in answer to my prayers. For a long time I have been dissatisfied with the church to which I belong, feeling that it does not contain many of the doctrines that Christ had taught while here upon the earth. I felt that it was not the true church which he had established, was established originally by our Savior. I prayed earnestly and asked our Father in heaven to send somebody to me who would bring me the true gospel plan of salvation and make it possible for me to find the true church. After doing so, I had a dream that two young men knocked on the door And when I let them in, they said to me, "We have come to bring you the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I recognize that you two young men are the same two young men I saw in my dream. And as in my dream, you announced yourself by saying, 'We have come to bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ.' I know that you are the servants of our master and that you will teach me his gospel." The two missionaries were surprised at such a reception, but happy to have the privilege of teaching this good woman the gospel. She earnestly received it, and soon thereafter was a baptized member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thus, another modern miracle in missionary work had occurred. The faith and devotion of mission presidents and their wives and families present marvelous stories of sacrifice and service to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to build up his kingdom. When the first presidency, serving as God's holy prophets, call a man and his wife to preside over a mission, regardless of their business situation or economic conditions, the answer is yes. All personal interests are pushed aside, and they faithfully accept the call from the Lord to the first presidency to preside over a mission for 3 years' time. Each mission president's individual call, his experiences and faithfulness in accepting the call, adjusting his economic affairs, and completely readjusting the social life for himself and family, is a modern missionary miracle. For example, in a casual conversation recently with the president of one of the full-time missions of the church, he told me that when he received his mission call from the First Presidency, he asked his employers for a leave of absence. Within 3 years, his financial interest in the company in which he was employed would be large enough to support him and his family for the remainder of their lives. His employers, being non-church members and unfavorable towards him going on a mission, refused to give him the leave of absence. Also, they informed him that he would lose all of his financial benefits in the company if he accepted the mission call. In spite of this terrific financial sacrifice and the loss of his job, he accepted the mission call and is now faithfully serving the church and his God. I asked the mission president, "Why didn't you tell the First Presidency of the financial loss you would suffer if you went on a mission at that time, and asked them to postpone your call for 3 years?" He replied, "The Lord didn't call me on a mission for 3 years from now. He called me to serve now. My wife and I decided to obey the call of the Lord and trust that our financial affairs would be taken care of later on." Such a sacrifice to render Christian service is certainly astounding. It is a modern missionary miracle. In conclusion, I bear my testimony that the true Church of Jesus Christ has been restored to the earth again through our Savior and other heavenly beings. Membership in the true church and living in accordance with the revealed teachings therein is the only way back to God. This church marks out the pathway that mankind must follow to attain eternal life in the presence of the Father and the Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.